Next case, please.
Our next case number is case 12,237 BB and Pops LLC. Seek a variance from the front yard setback for a proposed structure, sections 11582 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Sussex Highway, that's Route 13, approximately 624 feet south of Seashore Highway, Route 404. The 911 address is 18761 Sussex Highway, Bridgeville. The zoning district is C1, General Commercial. The tax parcel ID is District 131, Map 15.00, Parcel 24.03. Specifically, the applicant seeks a variance of 55 feet from the 60-foot front yard setback for a proposed structure. Staff would note we received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and one mail return. Thank you.
Good evening. State your name and address for the record.
Kenneth Christenberry, Axiom Engineering, 18 Chestnut Street here in Georgetown.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Burrell.
Evening, sir. Rick Burrell here for the applicant, BB Pops LLC, for case 12237. I'm here with Ken Christenberry of Axiom Engineering, who's put together a nice exhibit package, which we hope he'll be able to operate for us. We'll kind of tag team a little bit here with the presentation this evening. You have a booklet in front of you, which has been submitted of the actual site. If you don't recognize that from the air, this is the area directly behind the Sonic and the McDonald's over on Route 113 in the Bridgeville area. The site is listed at approximately 3.9 acres. It is something of a triangular shaped property, which is encumbered in such a way as to really dramatically reduce the buildable area of that 4 acres, and that's what's prompted us to be here this evening for the variance application. We have some overview photos that will give you a better sense as to where the property is.
It's a bit of an arrowhead-shaped property, yes?
Almost, yes.
Yeah, so the red shaded areas on the photo that's up on the screen now is the commercial district along Highway 13.
This is 404 here. This is 404. It goes into the town of Bridgeville, and then US 13 runs right through the middle of the commercial district. Right.
And one of the first things we wanted you to see was what has happened with Route 404 over the years. And I think you have a 2007 photo aerial for that. These are all in your packet as well. That's it there. So, excuse me, most of you probably remember the prior alignment of Route 404 as it merged into county or into State Route 13 at Bridgeville. Somewhere between 7 and 17 it changed. I don't know the exact date, but I'm sure anybody who's driven on it remembers that. And so what you're looking at now is the new configuration. And Ken, if you can explain the various numbers on your aerial.
The biggest difference between these two as it relates to this property, the subject property is here. And it used to be that the Route 404 was against the property. When the highway was reconfigured, this is now partially stormwater, partially open space that DelDOT owns, and the road's pavement was moved at the entrance over 200 feet away from our site, and at the tax ditch over 100 feet away from our site, without changing the right-of-way line. We did approach DelDOT asking them if any of that green area could be sold so that it could be incorporated into this project. And their answer came back right here is the email from the department where they indicated that in their definition, at the top of this, and there's a copy of this email in your book, you have the right person, but unfortunately, this is not considered surplus land. It is operational right of way and will not be sold. Thank you for your interest, however. So that's what occurred when the highway was moved.
And so whereas originally the boundary of this property was Route 404, now there has been created open space of anywhere between 100 and 225 feet between the property and an actual road. This is also significant because the county considers the 404 line of this property to be the front, and in a commercial district, frontage requires commercial district frontage is requires a 60-foot setback, and that creates an extra large impediment on this property because on a triangular shaped property, this is the largest or the longest of the runs, and so it creates a significant impediment in terms of building. Next, we were going to have you look at the access easements. When this property was plotted out and subdivided and recorded, there were created a number of access roads, which Ken has gotten up on the parcel, are up on the map, and those access ways are actually part of this property. So in addition to losing the setback area, the access ways are actually deducted from the 4 acres. So there's even less acreage available to do anything with. Okay. Next item would be the tidewater situation. All right, so you can see the little rectangular area is shown to be an easement which was dedicated or set aside to tidewater. And there's a small building there, and they maintain 4 separate wells on that property. And I think it encompasses about 13,000 square feet, which then has been set aside just for tidewater, and again, cannot be built upon by the current owner.
It's if you look back on some of the other exhibits, this is the tidewater easement area, so it's surrounded by a fence. There's an operations building, and there's 3 commercial wells in there that tidewater operates for the surrounding area.
Now,
but that is part of this parcel.
It is contained within an easement on this parcel. Okay. This is the plat where that easement was granted. So you have the 3.94 acres that is this kind of weird arrowhead shaped piece. Well, this bottom of the arrowhead is an access road that's contained on that 3.94 acres. Okay. This little better than a quarter acre is completely controlled. It's fenced in by tidewater, and that's a permanent easement. And the documents creating these easements are contained in your exhibit book.
So the easement itself was created in December of 2004. A couple of years later, the county kind of decided to pile on with its wellhead protection ordinance, which creates zones of area that
the ordinance cannot, calls it a safe zone.
The safe zone, yeah. And so you can see there's 4 wells on the property, and when Ken has drawn the 4 circles of safe zone, you can see they go well beyond the actual easement that was granted to tidewater. And it sort of becomes a de facto easement because currently the property owners can't do anything with it, and it far exceeds what was actually set aside for tidewater at the first instance.
When the ordinance was adopted by the county in 2008, this facility was already operational. Had that ordinance been on the books when tidewater drilled these wells, they would have been required by the ordinance to have an easement that encompassed this wellhead protection area. But the easements were granted in 04, the ordinance was adopted by the county in 08, and so where this is the extent of the easement that they own, those circles indicate the safe zone where essentially there's very, very limited impervious cover is allowed inside that safe zone.
So you can't build inside that safe zone, right?
Very, very limited. There's limited capacity now.
Or put parking lot or anything?
Not impervious cover, no. So it's the ordinance has some very specific provisions to allow something to go in there. What we've actually learned is technically we're going to need to file for a variance request, but not with you. The ordinance is specific to council. So we have submitted a letter to the Planning and Zoning Office indicating our intent to proceed with that variance. But I think we're the guinea pig. Has a variance like this been considered or granted before, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Yes. Well, what's the larger circle?
The larger, I'm glad you asked. That is actually a circle that I downloaded from the state. And so the state has mapped wellhead protection areas, and they have 150-foot radius circle that they call a wellhead protection area. When I looked at the county's ordinance, they call out a 100-foot safe zone around the actual wells. So, you know.
I mean, it looks like the state of Delaware is over on Sonic, to tell you the truth.
It is, and Sonic, I think, got their approval before the 08 ordinance was adopted.
Yeah, so basically anything that was already there was effectively grandfathered, and so whatever is on the Sonic property is.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. But it affects us, our clients, because it's unimproved property at present time.
So how many acres are you talking? It's not 3.94.
But if you'll give me a little bit of rope,
okay.
Show this now.
Oh, let's do the last one because there's one more. There's one more.
Sorry, we get kind of.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's there's one last one, and there's actually a tax ditch on the property.
Okay.
And so,
this area here is that Tidewater facility, running by and with the tax ditch on the southern end is an 80-foot wide tax ditch easement. Drainage maintenance easement, and again we can apply with. We'll interface with the tax ditch manager to see if that can be reduced. And actually, we've heard favorably that it probably, you know, so it's got to be reduced, but that's another encumbrance.
We've got some options. There's nothing guaranteed. We're sort of at the mercy of all kinds of state and federal and county organizations. But to get to Brent's, Mr. Werfman's question, if you flip to your next page, this is sort of the picture's worth a thousand words concept. This shows you exactly what we've got between the 60-foot setback, the wellhead protection areas, and the bank on the tax ditch leaves us, and the chart's going to show this. It leaves basically 0.85 acres of developable land on what started as a 4-acre parcel when it was
less than an acre.
Subdivided. Less than an acre.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Over here.
The request in the application is to create a 5-foot setback along Route 404. That might be a lot if circumstances were different, but we've got that 100 to 250-foot open space that already exists, and so that's not going to be
more than 60
on anybody.
In a sense, we're looking at it as similar to a side yard setback with the access road to Sonic essentially being practical frontage, because I can tell you DelDOT's going to force us to come in through that access road. They're not going to grant us an independent entrance, and I don't think we need one. But we are 100 feet away from the pavement.
As a commercial property, were this the side, it would only be a 5-foot setback against other commercial properties. So we didn't just pull that out of thin air. That's a real number from the county code. And that's, we're pretty much forced to request that here. So even with the variance that's been requested, we're still only at 1.5 acres, which is going to be a paltry amount of property to try to do anything in a commercial zone. Our client has done mini storage in a number of areas. That was what they were originally looking at when they bought the property, whether or not they're really going to be able to get a proper or an appropriate configuration for that. Given the layout of the property is questionable, but that's the plan at the present time, or the first option anyway.
So you're looking for the variance against that state property there, the 225 feet.
This gray area here?
Yep.
The gray area running with 404 is our front yard setback. We're asking you to reduce that to 5 feet, which would have our buildings from the pavement of Route 404 anywhere from 105 to 230 feet from the pavement, even though they would only be 5 feet from the property line.
And that's really only adding 0.7 acres to what's available. It's not a huge addition, but
it's not a large
we're hopeful, you know, we hit these different agencies and maybe we can cobble together enough property that these folks can actually do something.
The closest residential property is on the other side of the food line. There are some townhomes under construction. That's actually state police barracks.
Right.
You'd have to come all the way down to here. These are townhomes. So there's your food line,
right.
State police barracks, Sonic McDonald's, and those are townhomes. And we're right in here, next to the gas station and the McDonald's. The gas station's there, McDonald's is there, Sonic's there.
Okay, ask away.
When in the beginning, before this front part, was this all one parcel, McDonald's and the Sonic? It was all one parcel?
If you go back far enough, I'm sure it was.
Because there's a right-of-way that goes out to 113, and my question is for the county, is why are you saying that 404 is the
front yard
and not the access road?
It's because how the property is addressed. The address, the way the property is addressed is typically then the front yard.
The access road is not addressed.
Which tended to make a lot more sense before the highway moved, you know, 100 to 200 feet right. away.
Yeah, okay.
There's no name on the access road.
So that's why we're here.
That's the McDonald's Road or something.
I think it's actually Willie's.
Yeah, well, it shows Wawa here, and obviously the things changed because Wawa ended up on the other side of the highway, and I don't know when that happened.
Yeah, sometime between 04 and 08.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the standards for a variance, I think we've kind of hit them as we went along, but just to kind of sum up, it's certainly an unusual, if not unique, property. Just the shape alone makes it somewhat difficult, particularly when the longest stretch of the property has the largest setback. But we also have an almost impossibility of development given the various easements and roads and so forth that have taken their toll on this property. None of this was created by the current applicant or even the previous property owner. And in fact, some of this, the wellhead protection situation, came in, you know, without anybody's consent as a result of a county ordinance. The neighborhood, as it is purely commercial. This is simply not going to be an impediment or an imposition on anybody along Route 13. And in terms of the minimum requested, we chose the 5 foot because of the relationship between commercial properties and the setbacks. Were this a side setback? And simply in an effort to give the property owner a fair chance to put something on the property.
Very good.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from members of the board? Or Mr. Sharp?
You reference, I'm looking at your calculation of encumbrances, and I see there's a wetlands mitigation area as well.
That's
part of the
corner. Sorry. This corner right there, it's within the tax ditch maintenance easement.
Gotcha.
So we didn't, by the way, that tabulation, in case it's not clear, I did not double dip on it. So when we have the total lot area, 3.94 acres. The cross-access easement backs out 0.8 acres. Then the tax ditch easement backs out 1.12 acres. That's outside of the cross-access easement. So that's everything east of the cross-access easement. The tidewater easement appears very small, 0.07 acres, because two-thirds, three-quarters of the tidewater easement is actually inside the tax ditch maintenance easement. The wellhead protection area, that's simply the bubbles that are outside of all the other previously listed easements. And then the setback is the dark gray area that I hatched
in there. So basically the area that's developable is the area in white between.
That's where building footprints could go, was in that white area, which is 0.85 acres. The buildable area, so to speak, in terms of parking lots and whatnot, would also include the gray areas here, but that's what we're asking to be allowed to be building area, because our client is very likely to pursue mini storage, and mini storage really doesn't need parking at all. It just needs rooftop.
All right, and I guess the only other question I've got is, Mr. Christenberry, have you heard the statements made by Mr. Burrell?
I have.
Do you affirm them as true and correct?
I do.
Thank you.
Very good. Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Would you like to speak? Then be sworn in, please.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Mike Swaby. I live at 58 Limerick Lane, Magnolia.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody.
You can pull that mic in or raise that one.
I represent the state of Delaware. I have one question, and I think I can represent that the state of Delaware is in favor of this change. Is the variance to reduce the setback from 404 or 5 feet, or is it to...
It's to reduce
it to 5 feet.
Reduce it to 5 feet or reduce it 55 feet.
It will not be up to the edge of paving of 404. It would be 5 feet from their property line is where they're seeking to be able to build.
I understand, and the state of Delaware has no objections to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the state of Delaware does own that adjacent property.
Right away, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Was there anyone else in favor? I didn't see, okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve case number 12,237. The size and the shape of the lot make it difficult and unique. The variance is necessary to enable the use of the property. Is the only way to make this work, to make this project work. The variance will not alter such the character of the neighborhood because it's all commercial, and this is a minimum variance that before we leave.
I second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. So, Mr. Mears.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Ms. McGee.
Aye for the reasons.
Mr. Callaway.
Aye for the previous reasons have been stated.
And Mr. Workman.
Aye for my reasons.
And I, too, for the reasons that have been stated, so by a vote of 5-0, the case is approved.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Happy holidays.
Thanks. Same. Merry Christmas.